Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Dear Christian friends, and especially you candidates, late in the ministry of Jesus, about during the last 6 months of his earthly ministry, he sent out two groups of people on a sort of vicarage. The first group was the 12 disciples who were sent specifically to the children of Israel. They were told not to go to the Gentiles, but went only to the Jews. That's recorded for us in Matthew 10 and Luke 9. After that, he sent out 72 or 70, we're not sure what the number is. He sent out 70 on a mission tour to what were evidently Gentiles, because he told them that they should go to places where he would go, and that was east of the Jordan River, southeast of the Sea of Galilee, and those people were pagan and virtually Gentiles. Now, when the disciples returned, we know not what their reaction to their mission tour was, but we do know what the reaction of the 70 was. When they came back, they told him, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, it is remarkable that the Lord had not told the 70 that they would have the power to cast out devils. He had told the disciples that they would do this, but not the 70. But they found out, the 70 found out when they went out on their mission that this charismatic gift had been bestowed on them. And so they say to the Lord, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know, of course, what his reaction was. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It is one of the most gentle censures in the scriptures. Jesus was criticizing them. But let's think first about what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that we should not have joy in our work. He is certainly not saying that. He is not saying that the Christian should walk around with a long face and never smile. He is not saying that married people should not enjoy each other. He is not saying that parents should not enjoy their children and vice versa. But he is saying something which is extremely important for all Christians, and especially for those who do full-time work in the church. First of all, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That is obviously the most important thing that he tells them, because it is stated first. Now, commentators wrestle with this verse. All kinds of ideas have been put forth as to what occasion Jesus was talking about. When did Jesus see Satan fall like lightning from heaven? Some think that it was found already in the promise of the Savior in Genesis 3:15. Some think that it refers to the temptation of Jesus after he was baptized. Some think that he is referring to the times when he drove out devils himself, and others think that it refers to the expulsion of these demons by the 70. Well, it's all of those and even more. Satan had already been conquered at this time. The Old Testament saints, how else could the Old Testament saints have survived to everlasting life if Satan had not been conquered in the promises of God? In any case, Jesus is saying that Satan's fall was sudden, and implied in the statement is this fact that Christ has conquered him. That's the most important thing. Rejoice in that first and foremost. Secondly, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There are two different words for power in this text, and in the original, those of you who have studied this chapter know that the first one means a bestowed authority, and the second one means an inherent power. To all Christians, God has given the gift of the bestowed authority over the devil. Like Luther once said, a child who is a Christian is able to conquer Satan with the word of God. Now, I must hasten to add that when he says that you can trample on serpents and scorpions, he is not inviting you to tempt God by holding a rattlesnake in your hand, to see whether or not God will protect you from that. It is a figure of speech. When he says you will have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, he means he will give you authority over that which you fear the most. And what is that? He says immediately, over all the power of the enemy. You have power over Satan, over the person who has worked all this havoc in all of these centuries through the history of the world. You can tell Satan to flee, and he will flee. As James says so simply, resist the devil, and he will flee. Because of the victory of Christ, Christians are given authority over Satan. And that's what they should keep their minds on. And then he says in verse 20, rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The Lutheran Church, in its Book of Concord, insists that wherever the expression Book of Life is mentioned, it's mentioned 40-some times in the Old and the New Testament. The majority are in the New Testament, and the majority of those are in the book of Revelation. It occurs in the Gospel of Luke only here. Your names are written in heaven. By the way, a better translation would be your names are inscribed in heaven. It's as if they are chiseled into stone. He's speaking here of that which God purposed from all eternity. You became a child of God because of his gracious purpose in Christ before he created the world. Okay, your names are written in the book of life. This is what you have to lean on. There are going to be times when you are tempted either to pride or to despair. A pastor is a sitting duck for both of these sins. You know how often, when you stand at the door of the church, many people, even though they do not mean it, they will tell you that that was the most wonderful sermon. Even when you don't agree with them, they'll say that. But anyway, pastors are in a peculiar situation where they become targets of pride. In the last verse of Galatians 5, St. Paul says, do not be vainglorious. And Luther, who usually disagreed with anything that Jerome wrote, says there, there is one time when Jerome was right, when he said that nobody can resist vain glory. We are all vainglorious, aren't we? And we have to repent of it every day. Well, the cure for vaingloriousness is the fact that your names are written in heaven. When you are not complimented for good sermons, when people don't like you, when you step on people's toes, when everything seems to be against you, then you have to lean on this fact that your name is written in heaven. Furthermore, this, of course, obviously will, this thought that your names are written in heaven will bring you to your heavenly home. And a pastor who does not heartily appreciate that fact, who does everything in view of eternity, I don't see how he could possibly preach the gospel. I say a person who doesn't appreciate this fact. In closing, I would like to remind you that St. Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 4, he says there that they should not boast. They are allowed to boast in themselves and in not in another. Now, what on earth does Paul mean there? It is not the easiest verse to explain. Well, he himself explains in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, where he says, "By the grace of God, I am that I am. Now, I worked harder than all the rest of the apostles, and yet it was not I, but Christ who worketh in me." A Christian is honest with himself. If he has good gifts, he doesn't lie and say, "Well, I'm nothing," because he has these gifts, but they are the grace by the grace of God. If he lacks some gifts, and none of us has them all, well, he still says, "By the grace of God, I am that I am." You may not be able to say with St. Paul that that you worked harder than the rest of the apostles. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But you can say, "By the grace of God, I am that I am." In conclusion, rejoice because your names are written in heaven and you will do your work rightly and arrive with all your members at the pearly gates when God so wills. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen.